Hi, Brett. And happy fucking happy hour. It's Brad Lokley, who's a great big gay. His new book is My Big Gay Life. And we were just doing a lot of really immature gay blowjob jokes.
Absolutely.
Visually, just in case you're only getting the audio. I have already insulted him hugely.
Not at all. The only insult is that you just did the one dick in the mouth.
Right, and then you indicated to me that no, it is two dicks
at
a time.
It's like Noah's Ark, two of everything all at once.
To which I apologize.
There we go. There we go. It's the good stuff.
And I also did this.
We don't do that. We don't.
No? Yeah, that doesn't seem like there's any point to that. Like, that doesn't end well. That's like just a sword fight.
That's how you get a finger jam. That's how you get spraying something.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
We encourage drinking and swearing. You're drinking champagne with me. This is fantastic. All right. Before we get to your big homo-ness, let's talk. You are a man after my own heart. I love your Twitter feed. You said, say it with me. She didn't lose. She won by the largest margin in history. She won bigger than anyone ever. So let's demand that is honored. Oh, my God. I'm going to suck your dick tonight. And we're both gay.
Oh. It tends to turtle around ladies.
Does it
tends to get scared.
A turtle, it goes inside. I'll get it. You know what? Sean can tell you, right? I am tenacious.
Oh, yeah.
I'll find that motherfucker. I'll burrow in there like a goddamn honey
badger. He said that
like
with
a honey
personal
badger.
Emotional knowledge of a previous sexual assault or something.
I've seen a lot of things.
this studio has been your nom.
I will turtle in that fucker. I will find that.
It's true, though. She won!
This election's a fucking...
It's true. She won. She
won. This is some fucking bullshit.
And I tweeted that before we had true confirmation that, you know, there's been foreign...
Fuckery.
Foreign involvement.
A lot of fuckery.
A lot of
goddamn Russian rat fuckery.
I mean, I've been a diehard Hillary and Clinton supporter since her husband was my first election.
Blowjob. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, hardly. Hardly. I wasn't his and he wasn't mine.
I'm sorry.
But it's just that thing of like, if this was true in the reverse, if we found out that, you know.
He would never have conceded.
Well, not only that, but I would be saying, no, I want an investigation. I love her. I still think she's president, but I don't like the idea that if she was involved with foreign countries involving in the election, then screw that.
Right.
Screw her and screw that. We need a revote.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like.
Any country in the world.
Right.
We're having a CIA agent tomorrow that's been saying in any country, in any democracy in the world, they do a revote. If there is evidence of a foreign hostile power that has thrown your election to their preferred candidate.
Honestly.
This is the goddamn it, Brad. The United States of fucking America.
It makes me love her more, though, because that's how terrifying she is to everyone.
Right?
She's a big,
beautiful
monster.
She's a badass motherfucker.
She's a gorgeous. She just eats raw jalapeno peppers to become stronger every night.
With hot sauce on.
Yeah, she does. It's confirmed. She drinks hot sauce.
Oh,
like
my God.
Like it's like an Avion. She is a beautiful monster who will save the world.
She is... Thank you. A badass motherfucker was up against Russia, WikiLeaks, fucking FBI.
And still won
by
3 million
margin. Votes.
More than anyone
And voter suppression and cross-check and all this bullshit.
I think, but I hold faith in this, and I say this quite honestly, and you know this. You've watched her whole career in her life. You know, there's never been a time the Clintons have been as quiet as they are
now. Yeah, there's something.
Ever.
They're about ready to strike.
When
he
was up for impeachment, they wouldn't shut the fuck up. They were on the news every night, both of them just talking and talking and talking.
I'm hoping Republicans are like, it's quiet. It's too quiet. Oh, fuck Obama. Like, remember that when Obama, like, fucking killed that fly?
Yeah.
Everybody was like, bam! Like, I'm just hoping that shit's happening.
She's walking in the woods behind electors' houses. Like, hey. Why don't you come out here and we talk for a little bit?
How you doing? Hi. Nothing bad ever happens in the woods.
Come here. She has her and
you know
a bunch
what?
Of clowns
Donald
in the woods.
Trump is going to star in Whiny Little Blair Witch Project. I'm so scared, Hillary. Don't go.
He doesn't want to be president.
I don't think so.
Look at him.
Look at him.
He hates
fucking
it.
Little bitch. He's just like, you're mean to me about my restaurant.
Oh, if she,
Vanity Fair, fuck you.
If we re-vote, as we should, and it goes as the popular vote did, and everything goes to her, he'll be like, oh no, please don't. You're bad,
I
should have. Bye.
No, Mom, okay,
bye. I'm going to launch Trump TV and go.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
Yeah.
There's no rules anymore. We're all going to die.
This is how when I fell in love with you, just your Twitter feed, you tweeted, if you plan on going to a protest on or after 120, don't. Go now. Call now. Do now. Fuck shit up now. There's still time. That's what Lindsey Graham. God love him.
We never thought we'd say that.
Yeah.
He's my future husband. I know he's a confirmed bachelor. Don't try to dissuade me, Brad.
You can live with separate beds.
But he's the only one speaking out of Republicans, except he's going, well, you know, we're just going to put this on President Trump's desk. I'm like, really?
No.
And he'll wipe his fucking ass with it.
No. Burn it down now. We stopped burning things a long time ago, and I know why we did that, and we tried to become more civil.
Whatever.
But this proves that we're not a civil society anymore.
No,
this election proves that there is a kind of pushback of an uncivil war culturally going on. So, and my problem with all liberals and progressives, and you know, I'm one of them, is that I always do get angrier faster than the rest of them. And I do believe in trying to do the right thing first, but then acknowledging when that's not working, acknowledging when the high ground is no longer to be had.
As a gay man, you're probably used to bullying all your life.
Yes.
I'm like, this is not how you don't fucking back down to bullies.
And there's a difference between having a conversation with someone who says gays shouldn't get married and trying to intellectually appeal to them, and someone with a boot on your throat in a back alley,
right,
who's about to crack your windpipe and kill you,
right?
And so
someone tweeted that they're like, Democrats need to learn how to fucking, like, when you're in a fight with a bully, you got to learn to gouge eyes and kick
after,
in the crotch
after the election.
If you're gonna die and our democracy is gonna die,
go down fighting. I tweeted after the election, when suddenly there was already a progressive pushback of like, but don't be mean to Melania and don't be mean to Donald. Just you fight them intellectually.
That's why she's not going to move into the White House, because gays will dress her, and she's going to be fucking naked. She's going to be fucking naked all the time.
Also,
you know what it is, Sean? She doesn't have to dress herself. That's why she's naked all the fucking time.
She hasn't been in the
same
house.
They're like, Tom Ford, if he wants to dress me, what will I wear? All right, I'll just go naked. Melania, you can't go naked to the state of the...
She hasn't been in the same house with her husband in 18 years. That's why she's not
moving
there.
She's going to kill him in his sleep.
She's like, That was not in the prenup that we had to be in the same space more than 24 hours a month.
She's ready to fucking, like, leave his ass. Right after he lost. Now she's like, oh.
Except I have two theories on Melania. I think, number one, she's either now our only great hope, because she could be like a James Bond double agent.
Don't you think?
Because she'll be able to be...
She's the only one that can save America
now. She'll be one of the only people in the room with him and Pence at the same time, so she could take them both out.
Stephanie Miller Show is not endorsing. Brad Locke. Total... just brain fart just then.
Or the other thing is, she actually is a leftover deep cover KGB agent, and she's the one who made this whole election thing happen.
Oh my god,
this is
mistake
the,
octopussy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Grab a pussy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Melania stars in Grab a Pussy.
This is Russia's great revenge for the Cold War. Russians play the long game. Uh-huh. Eastern European people play the long game.
This is fucking fantastic. They're patient. Her patient. She's
They're like,
that.
We wait
she's
20
you know
years.
What? I bet she's practiced on his eye with that stiletto like many nights when he's doing his...
No. Just tap, tap, tap,
right,
tap, tap.
Put this back away. But when the time comes.
I'll be ready. Just open your eye, old man. Open your eye, you ugly cheeto. Open your eye. Just open your eye. Like Sally Fields in Steel Magnolias, but evil. Open your eye, Shelby. Open your eye. I want you to open your eye.
What am I thinking of the movie with the... you know, the Quentin Tarantino with...
Oh, Kill Bill?
Yes!
There you go.
Yeah. She's gonna
How did
come
you
in with an eye patch.
I interpret that as knives and swords.
Yeah. So,
I speak lady gesture.
We would fucking kill at charades.
Yeah, I speak lady gesture very well.
Oh, Gone with the Wind.
Like, what?
Gone with the Wine? No! No! And why wouldn't you have said, oh, Charlie's Angels? No!
No!
No, not that one!
But Kill Bill, what?
She's like one of those. She's like a black mamba. She's got
Yeah.
Stiletto, like just leg in the air, take his eyeball out. That poor woman. I will say this. Frankly, I don't think she cares about being slut shamed. So if people want to post photos of like, this shouldn't be our first lady, I'll say two things on that. First of all, she's not the first slut we ever had in the White House. First of all, Bill Clinton has been president. Jackie O's actual history is she was,
right.
you know.
All right.
But I mean, let's just be honest, like, you know, every first lady doesn't have to be perfect and be an icon of, but, Melania has paid a price that no gold digger has ever paid before. She didn't want any of this. She married like the douchiest billionaire ever. She didn't marry like an Elon Musk
yes.
who you knew there'd be kind of like a social role to play. She married the equivalent of a mobster thinking, I don't have to do any of that charity stuff.
I'm just the wife.
Yeah.
I don't have to know anything.
And he was supposed to die like 10 years ago.
Right? Oh my God. Oh my God. He's like with her girlfriends. He eats like Taco Bells and stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Why is he still here?
He's going to live forever.
He weighs like 300 pounds. And he tweets all night.
And you know she's been putting ground glass in his McDonald's just a little bit every day for 18 years. Because, again, long game. They play the long game.
Long game, like in I See Dead People. Help me. Help me.
I See Dead People.
What movie?
Oh, Sixth Sense.
Yeah, remember? She poisons her kid over time. She's been getting the high grade.
Yeah.
What's it called?
That syndrome. It's
plutonium?
No.
Polonium.
Polonium. Right. What is
polonium?
Vladimir Putin kill people with?
Yes. Is that
polonium?
Polonium. Is that like something on a jewel on QVC? I feel
that
like
was,
this
that
is
was
100%
the other model
polonium.
That she was having hot girl and girl sex with. Polonium.
Polonium. Melania and polonium.
That was her on the cover of the New York Post.
Oh, God. Melania and polonium.
Live tonight, I love you, polonium.
On Chat Roulette. Yeah. I like how I've made her like Swiss German now.
We just changed her accent again. Yeah. But my point is, yeah, I bet she's getting a high grade fucking shit from Putin.
Well, now the Joint Chiefs will give it to her.
A little tiny bit of it in every day. A little bit of the polonium.
now she became the Swedish chef.
I don't know what to do now. Michelle Obama did not write what I'm supposed to do now.
You know they have to have a luncheon, right? You know Michelle Obama and Melania Trump have to have a luncheon the day of the inauguration.
Oh, fuck.
And I just dream, because Barack is too good of a man to really screw with Trump. But Michelle is still a black woman
Michelle's
of power. So Michelle,
fuck some shit
and
up,
I just imagine Melania walking in and Michelle being like, oh, no, no, wait, shouldn't I speak first? And then you just repeat everything I say. Isn't that how this should go?
That probably is.
Like, you know, she's just going to eviscerate her verbally. It's just going to be like a Mean Girls, like, burn book situation. Makes me happy.
Yeah, remember when the alt-right wing said Michelle Obama was a big, you know, inappropriate slut for having sleeveless dresses?
I know, arms.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, did you see that one naked picture of her with the plane and the gun? And the,
she's got like a gun in her.
What was that, right? Why are you naked?
I mean, listen,
in front of a plane with a gun.
I say, as gold diggers go, I guarantee you when she was getting paid to take those photos rather than be part of the international sex trade, which is probably how she got here, unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
I'm sure she wasn't thinking, I might be first lady one day. Maybe I shouldn't hold this AK-47 next to my vagina.
Next to my cooch.
Like. You know what I mean? I'm sure that was not in her game plan.
I shouldn't go nipple to nipple with plenty.
I mean, because let's be honest, if they'd be more tasteful, but if Cindy Crawford became first lady, there'd be a lot of semi-nude photos out there.
Right,
that
but very
people,
tasteful.
Yeah, but
very shot by Herberts.
Very Sports Illustrated nude, not Hustler.
Shot
nude.
By Herberts and very tasteful.
Herberts.
It's my favorite story. I've told this before, but I was hired to be Cindy's comedy plaything. By Herberts, who apparently was a fan of the radio show, because she was shooting a commercial where she needed to sound, you know, like a person.
Right.
And they wanted her to sound like, because she was supposed to say lines, but they didn't want her to just be for Revlon or something.
Right.
And so I was like supposed to interview her and make her laugh and
jazz it up.
Yeah, I was like a comedy plaything for the day. But I remember at that time I was about to lose my house out of money, and they were like, it's $10,000. And I was like, oh, wow, am I in the commercial or is my voice? And they're like, no, no. You just show up for a few minutes and you just interview Cindy. I was like, all right. Okay.
I have done a lot.
They're just like, they'd ask the question so that she was answering naturally Revlon. Right. Just, and then I would, but yeah, I remember they brought me in her trailer to meet her and it was like, this is what happened. Hang on. You be me. Just say hi, Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Oh.
Yeah, I got the finger on the cell phone.
Oh.
Finger on the cell phone.
Oh.
And that was it. That was pretty much our first meeting. I was like, all right,
I'll just sit in the middle of the floor until you're ready for me.
Yeah, and then it was like really like circus music. They were like, all right, cue the jester. After they shot for a few hours, Herbert excuse me to come in. Hi, Cindy. Hey, wow. What do you hate, you know? Don't eat that Revlon blush. It makes you fart. Woo! And then, yeah.
The $10,000.
Right.
I
worked for like 20 minutes.
I would do a lot of illegal stuff for $10,000.
Yeah. I was like, seriously? I thought I was in the commercial. I was like, I'm not. Really? Okay. Yes.
Probably better you're not.
Yeah. Probably.
It's just like a nice flat payment. No. Nowhere, because you don't know what they would have done to you.
Like, who's the dork? Who's the dork next to the beautiful
They would have
model?
Done some horrible thing of like, look at how pretty Cindy is next to a normal woman. And he'd be like, wow, okay. Okay, that wasn't, they didn't.
Are those pores?
Yeah, they didn't say that was happening during the shoot when they had me put on the like old lady wig and pick up the shopping bag.
Sorry. That's also why I wasn't excited.
They would have caught that. Yeah. Oh, Cindy, you're so funny.
Oh, my God. Oh, Cindy, you're hilarious. Yeah, you also tweeted GOP. What? We always loved Russia. Runs to the internet, tries to delete all the info from the 80s. Yeah, what? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, have you seen lately the approval rating among Republicans for Putin has gone through the roof? Yeah. Like, really?
Oh, yeah. Republicans really? Love Putin now.
Like, zombie Reagan's like, yeah.
It's Putin on the Ritz. They just love a little Putin. They're like, well, we love him. Pushing
because
his borders.
Because they won. Because that's all. I'm like, really? We're okay. Oh, my God.
I think they're also doing it because they know at least, like, four of them could be up on treason charges.
Right.
But that. This is that a thing? I mean, I love Obama, but he tends to wimp out at stuff like this.
Right.
Like, the fact that, you know, that we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that it had Russia who hacked, and then the CIA was doing the investigation months ago, and, you know, allegedly McConnell...
He didn't want to be rude.
Well, and McConnell told him, we will paint this as partisan politics, is that you're trying to skew it
right.
for Hillary.
And then fucking Comey goes ahead with the goddamn
right.
email thing while sitting on the Russia
but
thing.
But to me, at that point, that's when you need a president to step up to the plate and go, great, and that's your game plan, and we understand that, but at the end of the day, a foreign power is interfering. Right. Right. With our electoral process. So if we have to battle this out in the court of public opinion first, it's still worth it.
Right.
It makes me mad that the Democratic Party and the DNC played the game of, well, she's going to win. So it doesn't matter. It still matters if
That's
they interfere.
That's what they said. Is that he thought, the White House, they thought she was going to win. They thought, okay, he's already out there screaming rigged, so we don't want to be able to have him illegitimize her. Look at the fuck happened now? Who cares?
Yeah,
you caved into the bully.
The Democrats have never been good at playing dirty, and that's why people hate the Clintons, is they're the only ones who have ever been good at playing dirty. And
right.
They're the only ones who are ever willing to do a bad thing for a good cause in the Democratic Party. The Democrats will always fall on their sword and say, we go high, while they're being stabbed by the murderer.
Donald, come meet Hillary in the woods and talk about it. If there should be evidence of collusion, and you're going to get, you know... She'll work it out with you. Just come on.
You're just going to take the dogs for a walk.
Go into the swamp and bring Melania in your stilettos
swamp.
And come into the swamp. Nothing will happen.
Drain the swamp. Drain the swamp. That doesn't
drain
even mean
swamp.
Anything. Ask
what?
Anyone who knows anything
what?
About swamps. Ask anyone who lives in a swamp. Draining a swamp doesn't mean anything.
It's still goddamn
it's a
fucking
still
swamp.
It's just now all the animals
What's
are dead.
Be there now
all of it. It's actually a perfect metaphor for Trump. You are joining the swamp. You're killing a natural ecosystem to pour in concrete, which will sink. Like drain. It is actually the perfect metaphor, Donald, but not for you. For what we think of you,
we're gonna keep a swamp and put a really ugly, tacky above ground pool plated,
which will then slowly sink into the earth because it's not on bedrock because it's a swamp.
Because it's a fucking swamp.
Ugh.
You're doing, I think, I feel like you're paraphrasing the Sam Kinison desert thing, but the swamp. It's still a swamp!
It's still a swamp!
It's not a goddamn swamp!
It's still.
We'll make one trip!
It's true.
Okay.
This is just basic, and he works in construction, in theory. I'm like, why do I, I'm a huge fagot. Why do I know more about swamp
construction? What
sort of pronunciation
is that?
That would be the French pronunciation.
Oh. Fagot.
Fagot.
You are a fagot?
I'm a fagot.
Oh, it sounds much better that way.
Who, you're just a lunatic. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
How you doing over there?
Oh, no.
Sweet
yeah.
angel.
Here
come
we go.
Here. Come here.
Oh, more champagne.
Woo!
Champagne for everybody.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, but let's all take off our clothes and get stoned because there's no rules anymore.
All right. Fantastic. All right. So, yeah, you also tweeted, at this point, I'm vindictive enough to watch America fall to foreign powers just so people who read books can say, I told you so.
Yep.
Can you read this? Oh, we'll turn it up now. How's all that going for you?
Since the time I was in sixth grade, I have been telling people this whole America thing is going to fail. I think it was
thing.
A good idea for a
work
while.
Out.
Because
it was a thought.
Because I grew up in upstate New York, right. And I saw the percentage of stupid people who are not only stupid, but
you
proud
grew up in
the
Catskills.
Yeah,
you
proud
had, you by law, you had to be a comedian.
They wouldn't let me out.
I'm from Buffalo, New York.
I know they told me before that's, but you're up, you're Canada. You're like winter six months of the year.
I know. Oof. I'm almost at Niagara Falls.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm in Lackport.
Yeah.
Up the transit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Up the transit from Buffalo.
Yeah. No, but you know, I mean, you know, that's, mm-hmm. there is a difference between, like, I grew up, my mother is a very highly educated woman. She's the CFO of a huge company. My father barely got his GED, ran his own trucking company, worked in construction, a real blue collar. My father would not be considered a book-learned man. But my father will tell you, I'm stupid, but I know I'm stupid. And I'm not ashamed of it, but I'm not proud of it. And I'm also smart enough to know when you should trust people who are smarter about other things than you.
Right.
So, you know, you go and you find the best lawyer when you need a lawyer. You find the best doctor when you need a doctor. You find the best, you know what I mean? Like, you go because you're not, you know.
Are you trying to say you don't find a reality show clown when you need, like, a, you know, like a leader of the free world?
Free world, exactly. And so I grew up around that kind of, you know, what people would call a dumb American, who are still very good people, who are honest, who are who are ethical. But then there's a lot of America now who is indignantly proud to be stupid.
It started with the Bush thing. Like, yeah. I just want someone like me
to have a beer.
I want someone to have a beer with someone like me. I'm like, no, I don't want someone like me. I want someone a lot fucking smarter than me.
Right. No, I have fans go, Brad, you speak so much. You speak so smart. And you speak so much truth. Brad Oakley for president. I'm like, that's very sweet. No. You do. I don't want to be. No. And the sad thing is, I probably am smarter, or at least care more than our president-elect. Yeah. And still, I'm nowhere near. You don't. I might be able to get away with, like, I don't know, mayor of a very small town. Like mayor of Fire Island or Key
West. You could be mayor of Fire Island.
Or Provincetown. I know the community.
You're
I know
did the fairies run on time? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I'm the Mussolini.
I'm having a mojito.
I'm the Mussolini of Fire Island. The fairies run on time. We're killing.
Drink your mojito.
We're
shut
killing
the fuck
some
up.
Of the straight people who come to town with their baby strollers, but the trains run on time. Good Lord!
Look at Ynyra's just loving you, loving her, some Brad. So you also tweeted Facebook. I can't think of another year in the last 40 years where none of us really want to see our year in review.
Oh, bad timing.
Like
Facebook.
That? Have you seen that YouTube thing? Like, thank you, 2016. You fucked us in the ass.
Yeah.
And which is not a bad thing for you, but for most of us. Without lube and without telling us you're we're pretty,
well, without,
we're
I
like,
mean,
ow, you fucked me
you
in the
need
ass.
You need time.
Wow.
You need to decide what you're eating on Tuesday.
Yeah.
If Facebook is fucking you in the ass on Friday.
Right.
It's a lot of maintenance. It's a lot of
that. A lot of shit,
it's why I think bottoms and women get along better than tops and women. Because bottoms are like, no, we get it.
We get it.
Monthly
totally
issues.
Totally get it.
All
emotional.
Kinds of internal stuff going
get it.
On.
Got it.
Yep. Look at his face. There's a you know, no. There's a lot of stuff.
I get it.
There's a lot
of shit going on. So wait, let's talk about
that feminine aisle at Walgreens.
Yes,
we use at least half the stuff in that aisle.
Right,
we repurpose it.
You're
so
like,
there's
oh,
a lot going on,
honey. Absolutely. You absolutely need the Super Plus Tampax. I'm not trying to insult you.
Just put the whole box.
Clearly,
in there. We don't even open
need...
it. Just put the whole box in there.
Clearly, you're
it's
big,
like recycling.
You're a big gal. You don't need that. I'm just trying to help. Because that's, you know what you're trying to save them from? Because it's always the goddamn price check on the embarrassing item, right? It's never such a price check on the buffalo size tampon plugs.
Buffalo size.
No, those are, I don't. So, all right. What the fuck are we going to do with our United States of America, Brad? I mean, I've turned into Che Guevara. I'm growing like a Link from Mod Squad Afro. I'm going to march. I just am like,
let me tell you something.
This cannot stand.
I'm a very good shot. I don't have my gun license in California. I still only have it in New York.
I'm just going to disavow anything that Brad Buckley says from here on out.
I'm just saying when the uncivil war begins.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So when the neo-Nazis come into West Hollywood and decide they're taking it back and start shooting.
And you'll be like, oh my God, fabulous boots.
Finally,
oh my God, we love marching.
Finally,
we love boots.
A land war. Ah! A land war. We have to go old school. We have to, I mean, listen, Vietnam partially ended not because our government thought that, like, the people have really spoken and told us that they don't approve of this.
Right.
It was because after years of people showing up at the White House, showing up, you know, on Capitol Hill, tying themselves to things, throwing rocks, and really getting in their faces, they were basically like, if we don't do something, these people are going to climb over the fence and they don't care if they get shot anymore.
Yeah.
And they're going to, you know what I mean? They will take it.
Well, this is what I hate about, like, oh, we can't, so I'm not saying we can't do it. Whoa, yeah. The electors are revote. Like, that would be, it'd just be rude. I'm like, oh, don't be afraid of the bullies. This is 1930s Germany. Like, oh, the Trump people will be so mad and they're so violent. It's like, fuck you.
And they already
fuck are. Fuck you. We got to become a nation of Malalas.
If you're not going to fight for it, then we deserve what we get. If you're not going to, if it's going to be about, I'm going to sign a change.org.
And I've been doing this for fucking years, Brett. I've never been like, go ahead, call me a fucking whiny sore loser, really? And call 17 national intelligence agencies and John McCain and whoever else whiny sore losers. Like, fuck you. Like, this is fascism coming to America.
Yeah.
And this is important, and this is like, you can't just go, all right, we'll give you that one.
I mean,
Russia, you got us.
Every major, certainly civil rights movement, started partially peacefully, but there has to be at some point, not where you're intentionally violent, but where you're no longer scared to respond with force.
Right.
The Stonewall riots, by any legal means,
by any legal means necessary. But I also, you know, just feel like this cannot stand.
Yeah.
We can't just go like, oh, well.
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it happen before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
My dad ran with Goldwater in 64 and he was a prosecutor at Nuremberg. And whether it's in my blood or not, I know fascism when I see it.
Right.
And this is 1930s Germany where you just go, when good people are silent, when good people say nothing, when they go, oh, well, you know, when he ran on almost everything Hitler did, the division, the hatred, and the bigotry, and the violent rallies, and the fucking, like, it just...
The New York Times article the week after the election was literally almost verbatim what the New York Times ran the week after Hitler took over as chancellor, which was the whole, we've spoken to insiders, he didn't really mean all this extremist stuff.
Right, and then
people closest to him say that was just to get elected. I mean, the New York Times, which has never been a bastion of far-right conservatism, like their Hitler article the week after the election, he took over in 33 or 30,
and
mirroring the one they wrote for Trump.
First they came for the gays.
Right.
And, like, he picks, the first thing he does is pick Mike Pence.
Right.
I mean.
Oh, let me tell you something about that old closeted queen.
Oh, tell. I'm going to need some more wine for this.
That man, first of all, there's always the saying, you know, methinks thou doth protest too much.
The lady doth protest.
And I would like it to be true that, you know, possibly every single time somebody wants to keep gays out of bathrooms or gays from getting married or gays from blah, 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 that they didn't turn out to have like a gay for pay history from hiring gay hookers or being gay or being in the gay clubs. And so I look at Mike Pence and go, you spend a lot of time thinking.
Yes, you spend a lot of research.
What we do in the bedroom and how to fix us in very kind of fetish-based ways. It's kind of a very S&M thing to be like, we're
really
just going to slightly electrocute gays until they're not gay anymore.
Right. We're going to electrocute you while showing you gay porn.
Which, by the way, is a fetish. The electricity and sex is a total fetish thing, gay and
straight. Might make you gayer. It might be backfired.
You can't. I accidentally got electrocuted when I was plugging in the dryer when I was 13 years old, and it certainly didn't make me straight.
Well, it's like dick a little bit more. How about that, Mike Pence?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I want this even more now. Oh, wow.
Mike Pence.
Okay. Now I want two. This is what getting to two dicks in your mouth. Thank you, Mike Pence. This is what you've done. He used to be fine with one dick in his mouth, and now he has to have two because of you. Good job. Keep up the conversion therapy. He's going to have like four, like small guys, but still.
Now, I don't know if this is happening for lesbians or for straight people, but I can tell you that for gay men since the election, one unexpected benefit is that we are all having so much more sex than we were even having.
Really?
Before. People are just trying to screw the pain away.
Yeah. Make America
gay again.
Hate again. Yeah. Hate again sex.
People are just sad, just pain fucking. Like that.
Right.
You just buried your dearest relative, so you're about to screw the morticianer, his son, the person at the restaurant afterwards.
After 9/11, I lived in New York.
America
strikes back sex.
Babies. So many 9/11 babies.
America's got to fucking strike back. It's got to be in your cooch.
I've been nailing down some tail I have no right to be getting. Some young, beautiful male tail where they're just so confused and scared.
They're so confused. And you're like, daddy will hold you.
It almost seems...
Come here. Daddy will hold you.
It's not nearly as terrifying to have sex with me now. Because they're terrified.
Listen, I know history. I'm old enough. Come here. Come here.
I remember the 80s.
We survived
come
Hitler
to daddy.
And Mussolini. Come here.
Come here. I'm going
to
teach you about ACT UP. Shh. 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 It's okay. No, just go.
We
go
survived
ahead.
The AIDS crisis. No. It's going to be okay. Yeah,
just lift up your hips a little. There we go. No.
There we go.
Marco. Okay.
There we go. You're a sick fuck. I love you so much. I love you so much. You're right. You know, I've fallen in love with him already. Okay. So you grew up in the Catskills with siblings? With...
No. Oh. Only child. Oh. You only do this once.
Sick need for attention. Yeah. What? What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you only do this once.
And
this
your mom
was an accident.
A CFO and your dad was a gold digging stripper?
No, they were both dirt poor. They were they got pregnant. My mother was 20 and my father was 22. Oh, and they very unexpectedly, they went to a party and my mother broke down crying. And my father said, Mary, what's wrong? And she said, we're late. And he said, no, we're not. We're here.
We're here.
We're here. Literally. And she goes, no, you asshole. We're late. And he went, oh, God, and then dropped a hit of acid and was like, we'll talk about this tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. 9 months later, I was born. And, yeah, no siblings, no...
I love that you have to explain that. Oh, is that how long a baby takes?
My mother... I don't know.
Oh, thank you.
I have to remind myself about that.
Oh, you say it's 9 months?
It's like Middle Earth down there to me. I don't understand any of it. There's hills and dales and shires and tubes. And
or Mike Pence says it's like a second after conception is your baby. But okay, go ahead.
No siblings. My mother put herself through college while she was pregnant with me. And during my first few years, my father helped out. She helped him start his first trucking company. They build themselves up. They are the American dream. They are totally the American dream.
Except for the whole homo son.
Huge homo queer radicalist giant, son.
Forgot.
Yeah, giant forgot.
As the French would say.
In the Catskills, which was real. If you want to have a good time, you should come out of the closet as gay at 13 in upstate New York.
Oh, is that what you did?
And like, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Was there slide whistle?
Woo! No, there were bricks. There were rocks, but there was no slide whistle.
You should have had slide whistle.
Because that would have made them stop with the punching. Slide whistle. All
stop
right,
Stop with the punching.
Stop
and the hurting and the hitting, lady. Hey.
Wow. Yeah. So that was, it was an unusual upbringing. I didn't go to school most of the time. In the book, I talk about it. Once I was in high school, I basically went to school 2 days a week of my own choosing. I just cut school all the time. Nobody ever came looking for me.
Here's what's so sad. In 2016, I work with the Trevor Project and we just did our sexy liberal cause here in LA was Trevor Project. And their traffic is up. I don't even remember fucking 100, something crazy, 100-fold since Trump's election.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck?
No.
We have marriage equality. We've come so far. And you're like, Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah.
Kids are terrified, just like when we were growing up.
I was performing in Orlando the week before the Orlando attacks, and then I ended up being there literally the day. We didn't plan this, but I had to go back to Florida to do a charity event for a gay homeless shelter and community center, an LGBT youth homeless center in Palm Beach. And then the attacks happened, and literally the charity was like 2 days – it was the next day. So they were like, are you still willing to fly? And I was like, listen, I'm a New Yorker. I lived through 9/11. I will fly the day after anything, especially because right.
Especially fuck you. Yeah.
And so I flew down there, and they had kids from the event there, and they had the people who run the center, and they said, the biggest problem is now even the parents of the super supportive kids, even the parents who are like, this center is a savior and they volunteer, have called us and said, we don't know if we're going to let our kids come in for a while because this center is now a target. This center is now a place where every day after school, 50, 60, 100 gay LGBTQA kids and, are in one place. Right. And there's no way to properly secure that from someone doing something. And that hadn't even occurred to me. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing where I was
like, help people
the amount that these kinds of things, the amount that hate speech or passing, that law in North Carolina, H2 or whatever, know what I mean?
The bathroom law.
Even the debating of those things, more or less the passing of them, creates so many ripples of hate.
Did you see the only singer they could get so far that...
Oh, for the inauguration.
Trump inauguration is a 15-year-old opera singer.
No.
She has a transgender sister.
Oh, no.
It just came out that she's very supportive of. I'm like, how much?
No, but.
She's going to get X'd.
Oh, I'm sure she will. And honestly, from a production side of view, their big problem, in my opinion, is anyone other than Ted Nugent. Who says that they're going to do it. There is no way on a live mic to cut them off fast enough. From saying
they got Ender Bocelli, but you know why.
Bocelli?
Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah.
To sing with the 15-year-old because he doesn't know it's Trump. Come on.
They're
You know how Trump is with disabilities. Oh my God. Yeah, no, Hillary won. Just sing. Just
say. But if you could pronounce Hillary Trump, if I know in the Italian it might be different, but just say Trump.
Yeah.
No, it's, trust me, it's anyone they get who's a legitimate artist could easily use it as a protest thing. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if you had some badass entertainers who are like, I'll go sing and claim that it's just an honor to be invited by the president, and then is like, you know, fight the good fight! LGBT
power.
Rights! You know what I mean? Because what do you get? No poet.
Pussy riot. Oh, let's get pussy riot.
There's no... Oh, could you imagine?
Come on, pussy grabber
salute
riot.
Salute it to Putin.
Fantastic.
They can't... No poet will write a poem for him, so it's just going to be Scott Baio reading Green Eggs and Ham. Like, it's just... I mean, what are you going to... I mean, it's literally... You'll have Antonio Sabato Jr. Acting out some of his greatest monologue work from his previous films.
All right, let's go back to your childhood. Let's go back to your childhood and the Catskills. What? So were your parents supportive? You came out at 13. How'd that go?
It was a mixed bag. My mother was not unsupportive, but my mother is not particularly supportive of anything.
So it wasn't just
on
that.
On Earth. She's a little like Joan Crawford without the warmth or the shoulder pads or the glamour.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very, very serious woman. And a very kind of like business driven.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a very neutral figure. Like, she's literally like, you know, I never really cared if you were gay or not. I'm like, right, but you also never cared, like, where I was.
Right.
Most of my childhood, so that doesn't really.
And she often said,
don't f*** with me, fellas! This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
Did she ever tell you to tear down that bitch of a bearing wall?
And put a window where a window ought to be.
Yes.
You're not a
tear down that bitch of a bearing wall and put a window where it ought to be.
No, but this is true. When I was 12 years old, my mother said, for Mother's Day, we used to watch that movie together every year and laugh.
Right.
She was like, I think this movie's hilarious. And we used to sign Christmas and birthday cards to each other. I'd say, Mommy Dearest, and she would say, Christopher Darling. So she does have kind of a macabre sense of humor. My father
Did she ever ask you to bring you the axe?
No. I don't. Well, maybe. What? During the divorce, probably.
Tina! Bring me the axe!
When did your parents get divorced?
When I was 30 years old.
Oh, okay.
Totally weird, totally random thing. Not when I was young. My dad freaked out about me being gay, but not to me. And his take always on it was, I don't really understand it, and I have to wrap my head around it. But he always used to say to me, but it's also not your job to worry about whether I get this. I'm your father.
Right.
So I will always treat you respectfully, and it's my job to go off and figure this all out. And he's great. He's loved all of my exes. He's loved some of them.
And he had to known some truckers that got a few blowjobs at truck stops.
He knew that was going on, and there was a truck stop in our town that the truckers used to call Candyland, because that's where you go and get your lollipop sucked. And I, of course, knew where it was, and so once I was old enough to drive, I would occasionally
shoot
hang
some
out.
Ladders.
Yeah,
we don't mean it like that.
I would go play Candyland. You pump your brake lights twice. That's how you let people know. That was before we had Grindr. Yes.
Oh.
It still applies in truck stops around America.
Okay.
And my father never knew about that. And like maybe 10 years ago at Christmas, I was hanging out with him and some of his buddies and their wives, you know, they were having a big redneck bonfire. And they were all like, so did you know which of your dad's friends? Because he was in a biker gang. He played drums in a rock band. There was a lot. And they were like, did you know? I'm like, yeah, some of them were definitely curious. And my dad was like, really? And they were like, did you hook up with any? And I was like, and my dad was like, you did? I was like, I did technically hook up with three of your friends growing up.
Oh.
And then he said,
that's weird.
And he said, who? And then I said, I'm going to give you the chance to redact that question before I answer it. Because remember, once I tell you, you can never unhear which of your friends I had sex with. And he was like, thank you. That is fair.
Thank you.
I do not want to know.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
We rest our case.
Wow. That is, that's not, you know what? That's not going to be in a Hallmark commercial anytime soon.
There is no Father's Day card for me and my father.
There's not
there is
be,
no like,
son,
you taught me how to roll a joint.
Which of my friends did you blow?
Yeah. in fairness, if I showed you
these
men...
Here's to good times. Tonight is kind of special, son.
If there was Facebook that then, tonight, I could show let you it these be low guys. They were like Tom of Finland, like tattooed, muscular, handlebar mustache, chap wearing, like biker dude, like hot.
I feel like a 70s beer commercial.
Yeah.
Right? Then here's yeah. to good times.
It was totally worth it. It was
tonight
totally
is kind of special. Let's talk about my big gay life. A fairy's tale. Why is that okay? He's called himself a fairy and a thegot tonight.
Mm-hmm. Because I can self-identify however I want.
That's fantastic. Available now on Amazon.com, ladies and gentlemen. I love how you describe it. Hang on a second. It's a story of sex, drugs, rock and roll, celebrity nervous breakdowns, my first boyfriend in first grade. Whore, slut, look at you. What? In first grade? Really?
It was not a sexual relationship, obviously. It was just a deep emotional.
Just a deep emotional.
Jimmy and I.
Over graham crackers.
We met while doing our first school play together.
Yeah. Oh, really? Did you? Oh, and you also got a degree later in musical theater.
Yeah. He played Peter.
Central casting. Hello for Fagot.
He played Peter Pan, and I was the narrator. I had all the lines in the play.
Yes.
And so my mind was the star. And then shortly after we met and rehearsed during that and found we liked each other, we moved our desks together.
Oh.
And then we started running a gang during recess when boys would play war. We ran our own war faction every single day for months.
You've run your own what now? I'm sorry.
War faction.
What is that?
When little boys play war, like kind of you have like capture the flag, like at the top of the jungle gym is home base and someone's team has to get to the top there.
Okay, got it.
And normally during that every day, it would just be kids would pair off, like boys would pair off and be like, you're this team and you're that team today. We were the first ones to start like a continual team that we ran together as a couple. It was like our own little military industrial.
Oh my God, like John
industrial.
McCain and Lindsey Graham.
It was.
This is so romantic.
We started our own Enron and started our own little military industrial complex. And then, that went on for months until one day I was supposed to be guarding him. And I got distracted, like the guard of the other team's leader kind of took me off on a wild goose chase around the playground. And then I heard Jimmy start screaming, and I ran and fought to get to him. And by the time I got there, there was nothing to be done. He had broken his leg really badly, like a compound fracture as a little kid. They rushed him off in the ambulance. He never returned to school that year because it was near the end of the school year for summer break. I would not go to recess any day after that for the rest of the year. I would not eat lunch. I would not allow myself to have nap time as self-imposed punishment for not protecting Jimmy. And then over summer break, we moved from northern New Jersey to the Catskills. So I never saw Jimmy again. Right? Homosexual heartbreak at first grade.
Fucking buzzkill. Jesus Christ.
And that was probably the healthiest relationship of my life.
Wow, okay. You describe yourself as a 37-year-old chubby starving artist who's still single and doesn't even own a plant.
Yes.
Now, and yet, you've been wildly successful. Semi-finalist, last comic standing. Yes. Come on. You wrote for Joan Rivers' E! Fashion Police.
Mm-hmm. I did. I have a very good career.
Oh, Brad, that's fun. That's fantastic. Okay.
And then that bitch went off and died on all of us. So insensitive.
Fucking bitch went
so
off and
insensitive.
Died.
Not caring about anyone but herself. Ooh, look at me. I get to go to the hereafter. Oh, not even.
Okay. Bye. Really?
No,
really,
she,
Joan?
She was great. I loved her.
She was great
she
to
was
me, too.
Hoot. She was a hoot.
Yeah, she was. I got in a fight with her on the red carpet because we were right next to each other one year. And she knew how to improv, so I just started, like, doing a bit. We were both live on the air. I started like elbowing her, and I'm like, you know, we have such a little space here, and so I started like imitating her to her. I was like, oh, leave me alone, stop, you're in my space. He ran that for years. Anyway, she was hilarious.
The first time we ever met, she looked at me and said, you're a homosexual? And I said, yeah. And she goes, you don't look or dress like one, and that's not a compliment. And then I said to her, you know what, I like this face, keep this one for a while. And then she was like, I love you. You
can my
stay.
God, you are a gay. You are such a gay. You're such a catty gay. It's fantastic. Wait, what is True TV's World's Dumbest? What is that?
That was,
is that
I love that
the
show.
Entire country right
that,
now?
Right now, you know what we should have a revival? It was for 8 years we made a show. It was like Best Week Ever meets Tosh. So it was a clip show. It was 20 clips a week. And it would be like the 20 worst drivers in America, dumbest drivers in America, dumbest pranksters, dumbest commercials, dumbest inventions, right. dumbest celebrities, and it would all just be clips of these people doing dumb things, and we would all pop up and say dirty, disgusting things. It was me, Judy Gold, Chuck Nice,
Mommy Love. Oh my God.
Yeah, so it was just a great cast of like really fun comedians.
Right.
It was, I mean, it was the most, one of the most fun TV experiences I've ever had. It was like a big family, and you just went in and screwed around all day long.
Right. And my friend is coming, I think, from Logo, and you did Logo's Bianca's Comedy Cabaret. What the fuck is that?
Yes, that was last winter for Gay Ski Week in Aspen, which happens every year.
There's a Gay Ski Week?
There's Gay Ski Weeks
all
around the world.
Can you ski any other week?
No, actually, during Gay Ski
Week,
there's,
not this week.
There's
not
very little
like
skiing
pussy.
Being done during Gay Ski Week. It's mostly day drinking and sex and cute winter outfits. It's basically a reason for gays from warm climates like L.A. and Miami who don't own winter clothes to be like, but I want a layer for once in my life. I want to be able to have a sandwich and layer this week and have sex in a jacuzzi in the snow. So
first time we went back east, my friend from L.A. was like, where do you even get gloves? I just thought that was so L.A. It's so fantastic. Where do you get gloves?
Do you ever go back east? Do you ever go back to the cold? I never do except by court order. I literally now own one winter coat, which I bought for the Logo Big Gay Ski Week, because I was like, I'm never going to the cold again.
Right.
But it was Bianca Del Rio who won RuPaul's Drag Race 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
All right.
Huge, she's become really one of the biggest stars of Drag Race.
Okay.
She has a comedy special out. She's launching a new TV show. She's a great girl, and I've known her for probably 15 years. She was doing this kind of, Logo wanted to feature gay stand-up comedians. And so it was basically Bianca hosting it as the MC, and they were ones that she chose. And I was one of the ones she chose. It was great. It was like a big, fun, like comedy special taping.
Wow.
In Aspen.
So I know I'm from Buffalo, and people are like, oh, you like the snow? I'm like, no, I fucking don't.
No.
At all.
It's, I, they can tell you this. When your friend gets here while we're on air, for Logo, I was like, okay, I'll go back to the cold. And they're flying me in, and I had to literally fly in and right back out because I had to go do a gay cruise like the next morning. So I was like, I have to literally parachute out, do the special, and leave. We're flying in. They're like, you can't fly into Aspen anymore because there's a blizzard coming. Well, they don't call it a blizzard. They were like, a storm's coming.
Yes.
I'm like, this is a blizzard. So you're flying into Vail, which is normally like an hour away. We land right as the snowstorm starts, and they put me in the car with the driver, who was 85 years old, if he was a day. And the snow starts, and it's like a whiteout. He literally says to me, thank God I got my new eyes put in a few months ago, or I'd have to pull over right now. Had my cataracts done. I'm like, this is how you die. This is misery.
This is how you die.
This is how you die.
With the cataracts in the fucking goddamn snowstorm in Vail.
Yeah, we're going through there's a
that happened to me in Telluride.
Oh. And they were like, the storms are no joke.
The guy driving is like, I've never seen like this. I'm like, we are not going to die tonight.
We were going.
Go, fucking Crypt Keeper.
We were going 20 miles an hour. It took us 3.5 hours to get there. And he's like, but we have to keep going because if it gets much worse, they're going to shut the valley down. We're in between two mountains.
Fantastic.
And we'll have to sleep here overnight in the car.
We're going to have to eat each other. Like Andy Sucker players.
No, not going to happen, you son of a bitch. This is not how I go out. We get there, and literally they're like, so the club is like a 2-block, and the blocks in Aspen are very small, but a 2-block walk from the hotel. So we're going to send an Escalade to pick up all three of you, you know, like an hour before tech. But if you want to just walk over on your own, let us know. And I'm like, I was like the only one who was like, I'm not walking in this. It is 13 degrees outside, and there's no oxygen here. I'm literally like, I'm like, no, I'm driving. If it was literally next door and there wasn't a hallway connecting the two buildings, I would be having you have the car just back up 25 feet. Screw you. It is 13 degrees.
Give me one of those goddamn tunnels. Like
Minneapolis. Yeah,
something.
This is fucking
something.
You don't have any little Nazi gold tunnels under this town? Why didn't anyone build a public transportation underground here? You're in the mountains. You got plenty of room to go down.
Listen, you're like, I know how to go down. Let me tell you how to, what the fuck.
I'll show you.
So wait a minute. Now, listen. What celebrity nervous breakdowns do you refer to in your book?
What was it? 3 years ago.
My big gay life. Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, I had just taken on a new regular gig being the MC and host for this for one of the gay cruise companies.
Right.
It's the sister company to Atlantis, which is the one I've been performing at for years. They needed a new MC kind of head guy. So they were like, we think you'd be great. I'm like, great. I'm so excited. I'd love to do it. It's really good money.
Oh, my God.
Our first.
You're like...
God. There's a celebrity guest star on every cruise who does a show at the end of the week as like
right.
the, you know, as the, you know, penultimate event. Ours is Carrie Fisher. She's gonna do an abbreviated version of Wishful Drinking, her Broadway show based
well,
on her book.
You knew that was gonna end in nervous breakdown. Come on.
So, and I loved the show. I loved her. We met at the beginning of the week. She and I immediately clicked, you know, because we're both snarky. We're both...
Because she married a gay.
Right.
So and she falls for you.
A gay died in her bed once.
Oh, dear.
I mean, Debbie Reynolds is her mother, so oh, for God's sake. She's oh, everything fine. About her is gay.
Okay.
We have a great week together. It's the day of the show, y'all. And we're on the private beach of the cruise ship. It's that final port where it's just, you know, a cruise
right.
ship beach.
Right.
And they say, Brad, why don't you spend the day with Carrie because she's going to just be hanging out and then you'll bring her to her tech in the late afternoon and then you'll escort her to the show and everything. Great. Carrie, she was acting a little stranger than normal that day on the beach, I realize in retrospect.
And that's quite a barometer for Carrie Fisher,
yeah.
I would imagine. Yes.
A lot of things were so she did. At one point, she did a glitter blessing for me when I told her I was moving to L.A. directly after this cruise. She took out her eye glitter that she kept reapplying aggressively all day
and magical.
Did a blessing on my forehead. Cut to, she never really does the tech. At that point, she's now only singing Tin Pan Alley songs to me aggressively in the hallway. Her mother's calling the ship because apparently her mother knew she wasn't doing well, but no one was telling us this. So Debbie's calling the room and Carrie's refusing to pick up. And she's like, pick up and tell my mother I don't want to talk to her. And I'm like, you're a goddamn lunatic if you think I'm about to yell at Debbie Reynolds.
I'm not really yelling at Debbie Reynolds.
I have a degree in music theater, but I'm not trained to yell at goddamn Debbie Reynolds.
After what Liz Taylor did to her. Wow. No.
Yeah, I forgive her everything. Okay. Carrie then just didn't show up at the theater initially. We couldn't find her anywhere on the ship. Everyone's out looking. So I'm stretching.
Oh, no,
stretching.
It's like a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Like she just jumped, splashed.
I'm stretching on stage, at which point then her dog just runs on stage. Gary, her retarded dog.
People are like, is that Princess Leia?
The buns keep her afloat.
Crazy overboard!
She then proceeds to, when we finally get her on stage about 15 minutes late for the first show, she's supposed to do two, an 8:30 and a 10:30. She just starts making word salad. Her dog shits and pisses in the middle of the stage. She starts tap dancing barefoot through her dog shit, singing Auld Lang Syne.
No, come on.
And swear to God, a girl. Girl. Would I lie to you?
Come on. Would you lie to me, honey?
So the former president of that company comes to me and goes, Brad, she likes you. Go out there and get her back on track. Just do like a Q&A with her because you've like, you know, the story, you know, I'm like, yes. Now, granted, now after having this job for a few years, if this happened, I would just drop the curtain and be like, show's over, faggots. Go back to your room.
Go away, fags.
And so, yeah, it's literally. And so I go out on stage and for 30 minutes, I'm trapped on stage with a Carrie Fisher
oh my God.
Who makes me strip down to my underwear. Otherwise, she's going to announce who in the audience is in AA.
Okay, wait a minute. Can you just clarify, did she tap dance through her dog shit?
Yeah. Yep.
Did she?
She did. She tap danced through her dog's shit.
Her retarded
piss.
Dog's shit.
Her Gary okay. with the tongue hanging out. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
I want to clarify. Okay.
That's right.
So.
And so then it ended with when I went to put my clothes on. I went off stage to put my clothes on because I felt like Coco at the end of Fame. And I came back on stage and she was gone. She had left the stage into the audience and was now approaching people leaving the show, asking them why they were leaving. We ended the show. We then locked her in her stateroom.
Was she doing amends to each and every person?
She was like, no, give me a hug. I'm
what?
Like, that's what. We'll fix this.
Right. Okay.
So then we locked her in her room for the rest of the cruise. She wasn't allowed to do the second show. The next day, as I went to go to fly I had to fly to New Zealand to get on another gay cruise.
Okay.
A guest came up and said, Brad, I know you've clocked out and I know you have to get on a flight, but I feel like I should tell you Carrie's alone with the dog on the grass median in between the cruise ship terminal and the highway making snow angels in the grass. And I went over and there she was with Gary running figure eights around her, jumping over her. Making
Gary was the retarded dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The shit on the stage?
Yeah. And
okay.
then I just right. went, okay, you know what? I'm done.
Okay.
And I'm going to go
and
to
I'm
going to
sing the finale from Fame now.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, I know who she was.
My name.
Carrie.
Stephanie Miller.
Ah!
Oh, God. All right. You can't, you know what? You can't top that story. Now you get the fuck out. The book is Brad Oakley, My Big Gay Life. Go pick it up. Brad, you are a fucking delight,
Thank
sir.
Thank you. You are too. This has been a ball.
How do we follow you on Twitter?
Brad Loekle, L-O-E-K-L-E on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. But if you literally type in Brad Gay Comic into Google, you'll find all of my feeds.
I'm deeply heterosexually in love with you. This is going to be an after party for all after parties. I'm going to put both your dicks in my...
Oh, I only have the one. Oh, you
really? All right, well, figure it out. Happy hour.